Okay, good evening, everyone. Thank you for coming out and learning a little bit. We'll start this year now because I have a hard ending time tonight. I have to shloshim, making a seuda tonight. But if you want, we can discuss. You'd like to have more time for the shir, more time for seder, whatever. We want to make something that works for everybody's schedule. So the sugya for tonight is tirchin tibura. Hopefully, we gave a little of an introduction last night between Mincha Marv as to the Parsha Tayin, right? That Balak and Bilam, they want to curse the Klai. So this is the famous Gemara. It starts off on the first source in Brachos Yud Beis, right? Omer Avahu ben Zutmi, Omer of Yehuda bar Zivni, Bikshu Likvoa Parshas Balak B'Kriyas Shema. So not the entire Parshas Balak, I mean, it means the actual attempted curses. Mipnei ma lo kavu mishum torech tzibur. So it would have been too long. It would have been too much of a tircha. Now, the idea is that tircha de tzibur is a real halachic value, that there's a tremendous importance we put to not being, I don't know how you translate tircha, tzibur, an exertion,
a burden,
good, a burden on the tzibur. So, that has to always be in conflict with something else. Because you wouldn't burden the tzibur for no reason. It has to be that you want to do something, but on the other hand, I have this halachic value that I'm struggling with of burdening the tzibur. So they wanted to put that in. It's more of a drush as to what the important message was, but it wasn't too much. It's like 50 psukim. So Rashi HaKadosh, you see in the Gemara, points out, right? Krashchav, I'm not going to go to Shavchav, Kumecha. Velema hai psuka, why don't you just say the psukim themselves? So you're not allowed to. That's a different topic, but you're not allowed to cut up psukim. You can't just, if Moshe didn't stop there, we don't just divide up things. So you can't do that. The lecha tircha tzibur, you wouldn't have been such a tircha if you just put in the main things you wanted to get across. Whatever those key one or two points that the Chazal saw was so important to put into Kriya Shema, we could have done that. It says no. That's not an option. So the first concept of Torah Tzibur shows that we limit certain things that we really would have wanted to do. It really should have been there. We wanted to say that. A few more examples of Tircha de Tzibura. And the next Gemara in Brachos Lamed Amud Beis. So this is talking about a person's a Shliach Tzibur. Tov lo hizkir shel Rosh Chodesh. He forgot to say Yol v'Yovel. So Arvis ein machzir no. So we don't go back. Mif sheyochel omro b'shachris. B'shachris ein machzir no. So mipnei sheyochel omro b'musafin. B'musafin ein machzir no. So mipnei sheyochel omro b'mincha. Omle lav itmar Allah omro v'yochlan b'tzibur shanu. That we don't do this back, because if it would make you go back and repeat your Shmona Esrei, you're the shliach tzibur. You forgot it. No problem. Because if you have to go back, they have to wait now. They're going to have to wait for you. So we don't want to be matriach. Let's even want to put a burden on them. So again, even though you didn't get it yourself, then it doesn't matter. Because you're going to get it during the Chazoras HaShatz. That's what Rashi says in the next, in the same Gemara, right? B'tzibur shanu de'ein machzir mishum de'shom le mishliach tzibur. So if you're by yourself, you're not going to have the repetition, so you'd have to go back. So if you think about it, there's no tircha de tzibur when you're davening by yourself, right? So again, another halachic example. Go through a few more of these. We'll try to see a pattern that's emerging. The Gemara in Megillah Chav Gimel Amud Beis, Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. Isha lo tikra b'tor mipnei kavod tzibur. So a woman is not allowed to get an aliyah because it wouldn't be kavod tzibur. Ibailahu miftluhu. Okay, let's stop there. Kavod tzibur here now, is that the same thing as tircha tzibur, or is that a different concept than tircha tzibur? When you were going through the sugis, how did you learn that?
Technically different, but very closely related.
What's the difference?
Why is it even closely related? They're
completely different. There's no. So we're going to see now.
Well, tircha de tzibura can be a violation of kavod tzibura.
Right. Could be a violation of kavod tzibura. Yeah. Could you ever have something that's a violation of kavod tzibura that's not tircha de tzibura?
Yes.
Calling a woman up. See, here you see there's a clear split between the two. Others will see the Rishonim do make and use the terms literally interchangeably, that kavod tzibur is tircha de tzibur, and the two go hand in hand. But you see clearly not all the time. Here, the reason you wouldn't call a woman up is not, there's no longer for a woman to make a bracha than for a man to make a bracha, right? And then the next case, let's go to the next one, in Chav Dalid Amud Beis, the one in Megillah. Pocheach, again, a cotton pocheach. This is a kid who's not dressed. He's there's like an erva. He's not totally, it's not clothed. Mao shikra b'torah. Could he go up? Omle tivaylach. Arum, my time alo. Mishum kovid sibur. It's not b'kovidik. So again, it's not a timing issue. It's not going to take longer for the cotton. Not going to take longer for the isha. But they're not called up. Sometimes, and we'll go through and you'll see, kovid sibur and tirchid sibur is the same thing. It's not b'kovidik. Yeah, Ira?
Why does it say katan? I mean, if somebody's in the shul with their shirt off, and they, you
know... Okay, so the more discussed is that, why would that be the same thing by a din of an erva by a gadol or not? That's part of the larger sugya.
The Rashi talks about it.
Rashi says that...
That it's a violation of a lo yira erva stavar, so you have a ferish apasuk on an adult.
But you don't have by a child.
You don't have that by a child.
Yeah. Okay, but again, what's the reason for the kid? The kid's off on what?
The adult shouldn't be undressed in shul, but the kid.
That's a different shul. Yeah. Okay. So what did we see? We saw they wanted to put in bullock, right? Can't do that. They wanted to. You forgot the yalviava. Don't go back. They want to call up certain people. We don't do this on a covered. Next one is the reading the Kriya Satorah on Yom HaKippurim. So they used to have. They would have needed many different Sifrei Torah, but they didn't do that. They did. If you look in the where it says on top, on the bottom source now, v'kori achrei mois v'ach v'oser. So you have to read the parashas. V'gol el sefer Torah manicho b'cheiko. They would roll the sefer Torah. V'omer yosi moshe karasi lifneichem kosuv kan uve'eser shebechumash habkudim kori al peh. So because it was such a long break in the avodas hayom of Yom Kippurim, so they would not read everything from a sefer Torah. They would just say it over bal peh. Right? So now, what's the reason going over there? So that's the Mishnah, actually. And the Gemara on, this is a famous Gemara, a lot of discussion, in Yuma Ayin Amud Aleph, where it's underlined, V'osir shel chomesh pekudim korel peh, amai, why not? Right? Niglov v'nikri, just roll! why are you doing it bal peh? Just roll the Sefer Torah. Om Rav Huna Brei, the Rav Yoshi, Om Rav Sheshis, Lefish E Golan, Sefer Torah, B'tzibur M'pnei, Kovet HaTzibur. So this is Kovet HaTzibur. It doesn't say Tirchid HaTzibur. It's a Kovet HaTzibur. It's not soon.
They're waiting.
Rashi's are waiting quietly. Look at Rashi where it's the underline in the top wide line. Mipnei Kovet HaTzibur Shehayah Mitzapim V'domim Mimlekach. They're sitting, the whole base, everyone's quiet. Shashtel. They're waiting for them to roll the Sefer Torah. It's not fair. It's like an undue burden to put upon people to ask them to sit and wait while you roll. Then you would say, come on, it's Yom Kippur, the Beis Hamikdash. I'll wait a few minutes. The answer is no. Tirchid HaTzibur is such an important concept that they would read it over Baal Peh. Now, there's the Tosfos Yeshayim gives a few terutzim as to how you're allowed to do this. The background behind why it might be problematic to do this is the Gemara in Gittin. The Gemara in Gittin, when she explains concept called Devarim Shebichsav Yatar Shoyd Oimdim Baal Peh. Something that's written down is not allowed to be recited by heart. Right? Now, discussion of Gemara and Temura, perhaps, as to what exactly is included in that. Does that just mean just the Chumash? You can't say. Does it mean all of Tanakh? You can't say. According to some Rishonim, the only time there's really a prohibition of saying Psukim Baal Peh is. Now, Baal Peh, let's clarify. If I'm reading it from a Siddur, that's also called Baal Peh. Baal Peh means reading it not from a real klaf. That's what it means. So even if you have the printed Tanakh, that's also considered Baal Peh. So some of the Rishonim point out, well, we only assume it's a problem to say it when you want to be motzi somebody. If you're going to be motzi somebody else with your reading, you cannot do that, even if it's not from a klaf. So in certain shuls, I don't know, we don't have here, not yet, but they'll lay in the Haftar from a klaf. The good has? Yeah? Oh, wow. So there you go. So if you have a klaf, lucky you don't have to read along the Haftorah. But if you're in a shul that does not yet have a klaf, you got to read along. Because whoever reading Haftorah is, he's moitzi you. And he can't be moitzi because Devar Shebe Ksav, Yetar Shalim Omer Baal Peh. So that's what they're talking about here. That's what Tosfos is, Yeshem is pointing out on Gemara. How in the world are you allowed to, how could this happen? I'll read it, we'll read it inside for a minute. This is where you see on the bottom right-hand side, still on the first page. V'hada Omer Begitin, the Gemara says, I think it's Daf Samech, Devarim Shebichsav, Iyatar, Roshoy, L'Omrim, Baal Peh. You're not allowed to say this orally. And again, even reading from a Siddur is considered Baal Peh. Omer, Rabbi, the Mitzvah, Min HaMufchar, Hu. No. That's just the best way of doing it. But technically, it does work, right? Because oisam shibiksav biksav. You're right, that's the best way of doing it, but I have conflicting values here. I want to do the mitzvah in the best possible way, so I want to read it from a real Sefer Torah, but you have kavod tzibur, you have a tiyuch of a tzibur, so that trumps, that wins out, and that beats out this prohibition of reading something orally when you don't have to. Now, there are heterim for us, because, you know, if something is what we call shogar b'fiv, that you like Psukim that just everybody knows. You just rattle it with an ashray, you know, you could rattle it off. So that, even though it's really part of Tanakh, you really shouldn't be allowed to say it, you have to learn it, but we have things that are so frequent, or another case, let's say you're giving a shir, and it's going to be too much of a tircha every time you want to quote a pasuk, you have to go put up a chumash and go read it out loud, so just if you know the psukim, then you're allowed to. But you see here, just to kind of show another source in the Gemara, is to where you have this problem, this conflict we're showing, right? On the one hand, I want to do the mitzvah in the ideal way. On the other hand, people are going to wait. So that's a problem. Okay, moving on a little bit now to source number two. A few more Gemaras to see, and then we'll try to get to some practical applications of this concept. This is the Gemara in Sota. So the way it used to be is they did not keep the Sefer Torah in the shul. It used to be the Bayis Acher. And then they would, before they would bring out the Sefer Torah, they used to spread out a whole prochus, they'd do a whole thing, a very elaborate ceremony, should be becovet to bringing them in. But you don't have to wait for that, because it's a problem of again, Rashi points out, Shetorach Tzibel Akiv, Sham im Sefer Torah, that when they want to bring it back, to take the Sefer Torah back to the house, if you had to wait the whole time to put everything away, you could just do it straight. You didn't have to wait for this. Another example, and then the Goren Gittin also talks about Chumashim. Here it talks about not having a partially written Chumash, right? Having your own Brachos written in a cloth, having your own Shmos, having anything. Not to use that for a public Kriyas HaTorah, because that would be a violation of Kavanat Tzibur. Okay. Now, we have Kohanim here, so we have to do the Rashba. The Rashba, in page 2, was asked the following questions. You see, this is on the third down left side. Sha'alta'o, you asked me a question. What would be the following case? Heich v'havi Sefer Torah pasuach, likrois bo. The Sefer Torah is up. You've taken it out. We're ready to go. V'hai koyim be'beis ha'kinesis, osik v'tefila b'makam she'ein roshoi l'hapsik. And he's in the middle of Kriya Shema. So the coin's in there, and he's saying Shema. Now, the halacha is you can't stop Shema to go up for the other parts. Maybe you could. Okay. But by Shema, for certainly not. So he's saying, 2 minutes for a Shema. Does everybody sit around and wait now? Do you wait for the 2 minutes because you have the coin? Now, what's so good about giving the coin? You have a mitzvah d'oraisa of what? Hidashta. You have to give cover to the coin. So now, I have a halachic value. I have a conflict. We got to wait for the coin, right? Now, obviously, there's not another one you can call up. He is the man. So you call him up. And then I shouldn't be concerned about this? Oh, lo. So that's the question they asked to the Rashba. No, you don't wait for the coin. It's really not true, this idea that Kohen always gets to go first, right? If you have a Talmud Chacham, right, but he's not a Kohen, he's a convert, so he comes first, right? So this is no worse than the kavod you give to the Talmidei Chachamim, right? So he gives a few extra examples of where we've cut out things that you think should be there. Emtzus b'tefila k'tzara b'shabes b'shem tiruch b'tzibura. You know, we don't daven 18 brachos, 19 brachos, shmon esrei. It's tiruch b'tzibura. It's too long to ask people to daven that. On Shabbos, yeah. So that was cut out. V'chein choshu b'kama makomos the tiruch b'tzibura. The Rashba says this is a real concern. V'chol shekin kan, certainly here, the ika sefer Torah shloyeh pasuach mamtinen ika tiruch d'tzibura v'zilusa d'tzibura hu. This is a zilzul. How would you translate zilzul? It's a desecration. It's rude. So it's rude to the community to wait for this person. You wait for him to daven. It's a thing. So you don't wait for the kohen. You call him up. So you, Dave, you asked me. I guess I told the story. I forgot already. But by the Vilna Gaon, so the girl was not a kohen, but he used to take the first aliyah once a year on Simchas Torah. right? That was his thing. That's the Mikra Dinyan, the biggest Talmud Chacham. No one's bigger than the Gaon, right? So he got the thing. So Shalom asked me, what if nowadays could you do such a thing? Right, could you do such a thing nowadays? Yeah? Ah, that's what I was waiting for. Af al pi sheish kan kohen ya'amon reina verabenu. Chacham Vad Yosef was not a kohen, but he used to give him first aliyah every Kriyas HaTorah. I think everyone, right? I was never there, but that's what they saw. So he was not a Kohen, but he was the biggest Talmud Chacham by far. So therefore, he got it. So you could do that. You could do that. Even, and it's not talking about the Kohen's in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei. The Kohen's probably right there waiting, right? So it's separate. I'm going to throw it out there. I'll answer. I saw in the Sefer, I think it was What If, one of these Reb Zilberstein Shilas, that someone wanted to get close to Chacham Vad Yosef, and he liked Kohanim. So the guy lied and said he was a Kohen and went up for Birkas Kohanim so he could get close to Chacham Vad Yosef and kiss his hand, get like a little patch on the cheek right afterwards. So he asked afterwards whether he was right or wrong. Okay, we'll answer that one a different time. You can pretty much figure out what the Reb Zilberstein had to say about that. Okay. Now, it's a zilzel for the tzibur. Could the tzibur be mochel on that? Right? Could everybody get together and say, okay, look, we like that Kohen. Zev's a nice guy. Ira's a good guy. We're going to wait. We're going to wait for that. So, that's a discussion as to what exactly. Now again, if you're using kavod tzibur and tirchut tzibur interchangeably, well, who's allowed to be mochel on the kavod and who's not allowed to be mochel on the kavod? Could a parent be mochel on his kavod? Could a father be mochel? Yes. Could a rebbe be mochel on his kavod? Could a Rebbe be mochel on his kavod? The answer is yes. A melech is not allowed to be mochel because it's not his kavod. It's the Shechina. The melech is a dugma of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, right?
But is that same with the rabbi? The rabbi's kavod is not him. It's from the Torah.
Oh, so good, good. So maybe when the tzibur is giving kavod to the kavod harav, is kavod haTorah, right? So maybe according to that, then for in particular things, but really a rav could be mochel. Al pi halacha, like when the Rebbe walks in, the Talmud has to stand up. So I remember a fulda. He used to say, I'm Moichel on my kavod. You don't. That's the first day of Shir. Every year, he used to get in and say, you don't have to stand up for me when I walk in the room. So you could. Whether it's proper or not, that's a hashkafa issue. But so that would depend on how we understand if, as we again, just to come back to this to put it together, if kavod hatzibur is interchangeable with tircha hatzibura, so then if you can be Moichel on your kavod, then you can be Moichel on the tircha as well. If it's not, if they're separate, then maybe there's nothing to talk about. Tirchut word never gets waved away. It's not connected to covenant. It's just a problem. You can't make people wait. It's a burden on the seaboard. So let's do a little bit now of halach. I'm gonna skip a little bit. Let's go to page 3. I realize we again time wise we don't want to go overboard because that'd also be ironically a tirchut seaboard. So there's a shilas and shuvas from the Binyamin Zev. I'll sit over outside and I'll read it with you the few of the key points. The Binyamin Zev was a Rav, I forget exactly, Greece, Italy, Rome, one of those places in that area of the world. And the Ramah quotes this halacha l'maisa. So this is the source of the Ramah. They were asked two questions. He was asked, Binyamin Zev has two, and he quotes Rabbanim. Number one, what if the Rav is still davening Shmoneh Esrei? And everyone else is finished, should they wait for him? Question one. And the second question in the tshuva is, what if the Rav comes late to shul for davening? Should they wait for him to start? Marv's 10 o'clock, and he's not here, and we have a minyan, we're ready to go. Should we wait? Those are the two questions that were asked. So let's begin now. It's in the middle of on page 3. So he finished his silent Shmoneh Esrei and now the Chazan wants to start. There's a Talmud Chacham. Either, now it doesn't mean it's the Rav. It means a Talmud Chacham is there, a very important person is there, right? Because historically, if you had like a large community or something like that, didn't I say that there was a Rav in the Shul? You had a Shtibel, right? So, different pockets of a Hasidic group. The Rav wasn't there, the Dayan, whoever it was, but you have a chosh of a person in the shul who has not yet finished davening. Everyone else is done, and now they're waiting for this one person, this chosh of a person, the Talmud Chacham has not yet davened. Nirlan, he has daiti to Ein Lin Hug Min Hagzeh. Don't wait. We saw that. We gave you 4 or 5 examples of where we're concerned about Tircha Tzibura. So the Binyamin Zev says you don't wait for the Talmud Chacham. You don't wait for the Rav. Yeah? I'll skip a little bit because we're going to cover a few things at a time. If you look on the, let's look on the left-hand side in the pair of Mehai Taima, nearly Hedyad Binyamin Lomar, me, the simple one, Binyamin, he refers to himself. When this important person, the Rav, or whoever it is, the Talmud Chacham, the Av, the Beis Din, is not there, you don't wait. And this is quoted Lehalacha by the Ramah. Both of these halachas are there. You don't wait for the Rav to finish Shemona Esrei. You don't wait for the Rav if he's not in shul on time. That because of Tircha de Tzibura, that not to wait. Okay.
So the
Mishnah Berurah says that. The Mishnah Berurah says that the Klal Yisrael's minhag is not to do this. They do wait for them. So we'll have to see. Well, let's jump right into it because you're right. They do wait for the so let's try to see how that developed into why that is a thing, and this might come to the back. There's a machlokus whether or not a tzibur could be mochel and they're covered or not. Where is that? Let me see if I can find it for you quickly. I'll skip around a little bit.
Did
I skip it already? I skipped too many things. Yeah, so that's what the Amik bracha says. That the covered had tzibur. Tzibur is the 10. When the 10 is there, the Shechina is there. So just like you can't be Moichlan, you can't be Moichlan, the Shechina is covered. So that's why you would not be allowed to. On the other hand, if it's David Gottlieb phrased it very succinctly. And he wanted to explain like this. From there's two of David Gottlieb. So I'm talking about the one on the phone from YU, Kol Elyon. So he said like this. The whole point of waiting for the Rav to finish davening a Shemona Esrei, it's covered Hatzibur, because if you would not wait for the Rav to daven, that's the biggest bizayon to a Tzibur. Here's a shul that doesn't wait for the Rav to finish davening? So it's the greatest disrespect for the Tzibur themselves if they would not agree to wait for the Rav. So that's the way that he framed it. It's halachic like that, it's al pidrush. But there's halachic reasons as well as to why the minig has been to wait for them. And I'll show you, there's a Mishnah Berurah. Let me find that for you for a second.
The part about Kovach Shemayim is the one at the top of the
page. Yeah?
On three.
But
the Taz brings the machlokas. That's what it is. Yeah, the Taz brings the machlokas where you can be moichel on the covered or not. Correct. You want to see that at the top? Yeah? Kachos v'arambam. I'm reading the Taz now. Because the base... Yosef Lefize im hatzibur roitzen limchol akvodam shafidam lekav. They could. They could be moichel on it. Ella harosh lo sivir lehachid. The Rosh says you cannot be moichel on them. The reason that the minhag is to wait for the Rav is not for the Rav per se. But the Mishnah Berurah quotes, I'll find it in a second, that the reason is because he's davening slowly enough that... Here it is. Yeah, it's right. It's on page 3. Kuf Chav Dal. Let's read the Mishnah Berurah first, and then we'll read where this is Paskin, and then we'll see how the Mishnah Berurah speaks out as to why, in fact, the minhag is to wait for the Muslims. Ira, this was your question, right? Because you look around, everyone waits, right? Okay. So we'll talk about it also. That's not so poshut. That's not poshut to give them the go-ahead. That you could, and sometimes that is done, but we're getting ahead of ourselves. But I want to do, we'll do Iris and Andrew's point. So yes, we'll see why the Tzibur does with a minhag and Klal Yisrael across. I don't think I've ever been to show they don't wait, unless the Rav gives them in advance. A chaver of mine, Rabbi Jonathan Morgenstern, so he davens along Shemona Esrei, and he says, he tells, do not wait for me, Bechlal. Because that's that conflict of Tircha Tzibur, and you know, you don't want to hold everybody back, but you want to daven, you don't want to rush, you want to schlep things out. But to give that wave, that go ahead, so that is allowed. There's another eitza that's brought down in the Sfarim, is to fake your three steps back.
Wow.
Whoa!
Oh, you start doing this?
You're still in the middle of your Shemona Esrei, but the Rav takes his three steps back. They go, and then he just either takes his three steps forward or continues to feel it from there. You know what?
Does he have to keep his feet together?
But before that, it's even asked, are you allowed to do that or not? Yeah. The Shaila is asked, no. That's asked, you look in the Sechem, and the Michtam and the Cheskiah on page 4, ask the two things. The Mishnah Berurah paskens that way, but we're totally fine. So let me go slowly. One second. I've got 5 minutes. Okay. So we'll see. We'll continue this on, because there's a lot more Shailas to talk about. Maybe we'll do this on Wednesday night as well. Says the Mishnah Berurah. I'll read now in Sifkatin Yud Gimel. Chashuve Ha'ir. You have somebody important in the city, right? And he's davening long. You don't wait to Achshav, but nowadays, like Ira says, Nagash Lichtzibur Mamtinan Shisaim Ha'av Beis Din Es Tefilasa. You wait for the Rav, for the more the Asr to finish davening. Lefi Shirov Ha'anoshim. The majority of people mispalden bimarutza. They daven too fast. They daven way too fast. You know, it's because what would be the flip side of it? You get 10 guys together, right? You blink, you sneezed. Okay, chazar zashas, we have a minion, we're ready to go. But what happened? They flew through their davening. Mispalel mila b'mila, if you're going to daven correctly, word by word, actually thinking about what you're saying, lo yuchel lomer kedusha imatzibor. He's never going to get kedusha. So Nebuch on the one guy in the back of the shul who's davening like a mensch, everyone else is flying through their things, and this guy's going to lose out on it. So watch, you throw it on the rabbi. He becomes, you know, lahav, like the pace car in the race. He sets the pace for the davening, and so the guy in the back who really would never get Kedusha, it's not him. He's davening the way the rabbi's davening. And therefore, because there's Samach on the Rav, so everyone's going to wait for him, so they'll wait for the guy in the back as well, and he gets to answer Kedusha. L'chein, mamtinim we wait, ki heim osim shelo kedin. Because those who are davening quickly are not doing the correct thing. L'fikach, im ein av beizdin be'ir, hu hadin v'yamtinu al ha-mispalvel mila b'mila. If you wouldn't have a Rav in the shul, you'd wait for somebody who you know davens slowly. You wait for that person. So now, one second, it's not even a din in Kavod HaTorah. Because it's not a din in the Rav. It's a din in person who's davening correctly. And you assume the rabbi's going to daven correctly. He's going to go slowly enough. So therefore, you're waiting for him to make sure the daven's correctly so those people don't lose out on saying Kedusha. Avag Shemarich Ein Lahamtin Lav. But if the Rav's davening along Shemona Esrei, they have one of these Ne'ilah already, and it's a weekday Shachas or whatever it is. Okay, you have to be sensitive to it. The Rav has to be sensitive to Tircha de Tzibura. It's a real problem to daven. He brings Rabbi Akiva, right? Rabbi Akiva himself would not be ma'arich and daven for an extended period of time when people are waiting. But it's a real tension. It's a tension because on the one hand, people want to do the right thing and they want to show respect for the Rav, and the Rav wants to daven like a mensch, but also doesn't want to... It's not easy, but there are halachic scenarios to this. So again, he brings down that etzah of taking the steps back. Okay, I'm just going to skip... I'm going to skip two words underlined, then we'll stop here for tonight. We said the last word on the line is ukehayom. Do you see that? Mm-hmm. Ukehayom, nowadays. Now, kehayom is the 1930s, right? The Chafetz Chaim was nifter in 1933. So nowadays, close to 100 years ago, nispashit aminig lahantin al av beis din. We do wait for the Rav, we wait for the Av Beis Din, the Rabbi, v'nira hatam mishum da haminhan kehayom ba'ar Yisrael likavo im ha'av Beis Din b'yachad eis lilmod acher tefila. Because it's Shacharis, and he used to give a shir after davening. And if they're not going to wait for him, and he's davening as Shmona Esrei, and they're already off to the races, they're holding by Aleinu, he's still holding by Rifa'enu, right? So then they're going to leave, and they're going to miss the shir after davening. Ve'im, kishit kabi, it's minyan, take it, but it's paulu. They're going to go quickly and daven. Yelich achakach kol ech ledarko. Everyone's going to go to work. Ve'yugram al yedei zeh bitl Torah. They're not going to learn. Kevias limud shel achar tefila hu inyan gadol. You're supposed to be having a time for learning right after davening. So if they don't wait for him, so they're going to daven. He's going to daven his pace, and then you're going to miss the shir afterwards. Everyone's going to run off. So you think this is an exaggeration. You have Rabbi Yonatan Eibshitz. So he writes that they were by Aleinu. When he would finish the Shemona Esrei, the Tzibur, obviously he probably explained then, not to wait for him, but he would be finishing Shemona Esrei. He says, that's the highlight of my day. The Gaon of Yonatan, who had a mind that we can't even fathom, his genius, should be geniuses, but the highlight of his day was his davening. And he rings that the Balabatim were by Aleinu already by the time he finished his Shemona Esrei. So we started the sugya. We're into it. I think we didn't get too far into it. Maybe we'll continue on this. If there's enough material for Chavrusa on Wednesday, then we'll continue the one sugya on Tircha de Tzibura and Mirtz Hashem on Wednesday evening. Okay, Shkoyach, everybody. Thank you for coming.